Y'all ready this morning? All right. This morning, hey, Gwally, I got your phone. This morning, we are going to continue down our path of charismatic Christianity, installment number 3. And so I'd like to refresh, remind you of the previous 2 Sundays. Excluding Father's Day, I preached something different. It really comes around the theme of Acts chapter 1:8, when Jesus prophesies the coming of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he says, but you shall receive power. Everybody say power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The New Testament church was a Spirit-filled church that was unashamed to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. So I just want to recap just briefly and quickly before I go into my message. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to empower us to be His witnesses, a supernatural event. We've talked about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It lists the 9 gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 gives the order of how to operate in the gifts, but right in the middle of the two is 1 Corinthians 13, called the love chapter. It says, if we don't do this in the spirit of love, we totally mess it up. And then it goes on in the 1 Corinthians 14, when it gives the order of the gifts, it begins by saying, desire spiritual gifts, and especially that you might prophesy. Kind of sounds like the tongue and interpretation today, amen? We believe that God still speaks to our spirit today. We believe that God still prophesies today. We believe that God still heals today. And the sign-up sheet on the Go 101, during that process, we will talk about the gifts of the Spirit. We will talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For the advance coming up on August 3rd, we'll talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit there as well. And so just want to let you know about those 2 events that are coming up. 2 weeks ago, I preached a second installment of Charismatic Christianity, and we traced the gifts of the Spirit through every generation leading up to today. Much of that resource came from a book, and if you want a good reading material about the gifts of the Spirit throughout history, it's called 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity. I think it's up there. It's an amazing read, one of the best reads when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit or the history of the gifts. Highly encourage you to order that book by a professor named Eddie Hyatt. The gifts of the Spirit are for today, needed today. We need to use them today. The third installment of Charismatic Christianity is Tap the Power. Everybody say Tap the Power. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says, but our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and in as much assurance as you know what kind of men we were among you. For your sake. Now, there are tons of questions. How many of y'all have some questions you're going to ask God when you get to heaven? Just half of y'all? I mean, there are some things that we question God about. Some things that, God, why didn't you do it this way? God, why did you do it this way? Why didn't you do it this way? There are things that we have questions about. And when I get to heaven, I'll probably ask God, or maybe I won't even be concerned by that time, what those questions are. But one thing I don't have a question, does God's power still exist in 2019? I have witnessed God over the last 27 years of ministry and before that, God do supernatural things that you could not question, you could not understand outside of something very supernatural. When before I was married, I was in a church that there was a woman in her late 60s. She had had a stroke. She had had an MRI or a CAT scan. I'm not sure which one. In that stroke, it showed her damage in her brain of her previous stroke. She had another stroke. We went and prayed for her. She supernaturally recovered. They went ahead and did an MRI, and when they looked at the MRI, they could no longer find the damage from her first stroke. She had the pictures from the x-rays of her original stroke. She had the new, and she said there is no damage. The doctors could not figure that out. I have seen God do things supernaturally. The camp that our kids will be going to in 2 weeks, YFN, I knew a young man that had Coke bottle glasses. I mean, we're talking thick glasses. He went there and God supernaturally healed him. He came back with no glasses at all. If you've watched the movie Breakthrough, it's about a young man that falls through the ice and he's dead for 45 minutes. Mama gets in there with the faith of Mama and she begins to proclaim and he rises from the dead. True story. It's a story, and all of these stories I know personally, except that one, but they made a movie out of that one. Powerful story of God's miraculous power. We have witnessed where the word of knowledge have been so clear that it was undeniable that God was speaking. The first church that I planted, the second church that I pastored, Robin and I, was a small church. About at its biggest, it was about 80 people. And there was a young lady that we had ministered to the weekend prior. She had confessed with us that she was involved in an adulterous affair. She said, "Would you please hold that confidential? I don't want anybody else knowing about it." And we said, "Trust me, it's confidential." The next Sunday morning, she's in church. After church, this lady walks up to her and said, "I am just crazy nervous to say this, but the Lord gave me a word for you," and begins to tell her that the Lord knows that she is an adulterous affair. So this lady leaves her, the lady that's having an affair, and comes over to Robin and I and says, "How dare you tell the congregation my business? Because nobody knows about this except for you." And Robin looks at her and says, "I don't know what that lady just told you, but whatever she told you, you better listen, because we have said zero to anybody. So whatever you heard from her, take it as directly from God." I've seen prophetic words where multiple words came forth in one weekend just to confirm. We just saw that this morning happen, where a tongue and interpretation came. I told you the story a couple of weeks ago of Robin's dad praising the Spirit over a lady, and the lady hears fluent Spanish, which my father-in-law can't speak any Spanish, and says words to her that she remembers her grandmother speaking to her, and she gave her heart back to the Lord that Sunday. Powerful things. You know, sometimes we read about stories or we see them on the internet and we're going, "Is that true?" You know, we don't know their stories. There's plenty of fake stuff out there. So we question everything, you know, whether that's true. The stories that I've just told you are all stories except for the movie one that I have personally witnessed myself. And these are just a few of them. God still moves today. We have access to tap the power. God is the source of that power. God gets all the credit. We are simply his vessels. It's not power for the pastor only. It is power for believers. There was a lady in the village in Mayabopan in Belize, and every time anybody in the village would be sick, she would call me up and say, "Hey, pastor, would you go to so-and-so's house and pray for him?" And I began to speak to her and begin to train her and equip her, and I began to tell Dolores, "You don't have to call on me. The same Holy Spirit that dwells in me dwells in you." So people in the village would say, "Hey, would you call your pastor and ask him to come pray?" And she said, "I don't need to call my pastor anymore." She goes, "The same Holy Spirit that lives in him lives in me. I can lay hands on you and pray for you as well." It is for all of us. The Bible speaks of that, the priesthood of the believer. Not the priesthood of the pastor, the priesthood of the believer. We all possess, if you are born again, the Holy Spirit indwells us. And we can tap the power. When we tap the power, we become more effective as we minister, as we witness, as we disciple people to his purpose. So this morning, I'm going to move pretty quickly on 8 action steps for us to tap the power. Number 1, cultivate God's presence in your life. The more time you're in God's presence, the more time you're in his word, the more time you're seeking him in worship and in prayer, the more you will understand his purpose and his voice. Now, I've been married this August 8th, had to get that right, had to hesitate for a second, 27 years. I know. Woo! There they are. Woohoo! She's scared. She doesn't know where I'm going with that. She's like, "Oh." In my first church, I had this illustration, and I walked up to her and had her stand up, and I laid a big old kiss on her right in front of everybody. Back then, she was really, really shy. She hated me for like 3 days, and she got over it. 27 years. So after 27 years, you know, I am still figuring her out, okay? I mean, I haven't got her down. You know, she'll do something or I'll do something. And, you know, I am still working on it in 27 years. But after 27 years, I have figured a whole lot out. I can say, I know when I can say certain things, I know exactly how she will respond. Sometimes I even say, kids, watch this. I'm going to say this and see how she responds. Watch this. Hey, Robin! And I'll say it, and she'll do exactly what I thought most of the time. Now, lately, by 9 o'clock at night, you know, I'm like dead tired. And so every night I say, boy, I'm going to sleep good tonight. And she replies, and I know what she's going to say. You sleep good every night. We say that almost every single night. I crawl in bed. I'm going to sleep good tonight. Yeah, you sleep good every night. I know that because I've spent time with her 27 years with very few days of absence of being apart. I know her very, very well. The more time you spend in God's presence, you get to know God very, very well. You get to understand his ways. We cultivate God's presence in our lives, and we understand his heart in a deeper way so we can tap the power. Now, there is a place for repentance. We're all on a journey. I don't think anybody's perfect in this place. I don't think there's one. We're all on a journey, and so when God speaks to us areas of our life that needs to change, we need to repent and be molded into who God's calling us to be. That's a part of understanding who he is on a deeper measure. I've told this story before, but if there was a light bulb right here, big old light bulb right here, picture that, and I'm way over here, man, I did not realize that dog jumped on me. Oh, man. Oh, my kid's got food on me right there. But I'm pretty clean. I'm looking pretty good. Well, I get closer to that light. That dirt got on me there, too. I did not know. Oh, man. Robin, you got your lipstick on me. The closer we get to the light, the more we understand the things that we got to get rid of. It's a journey. Cultivate a relationship of getting to know who God is. Number two, cultivate faith in God's truth. I didn't come up with this quote. I'm not sure who did, but I thought it was powerful. True supernatural faith flows out of the spirit and affects the mind, not the other way around. It comes from the Holy Spirit to our spirit, then to our mind. Faith is born from revelation in the heart. When truth is revealed to you by the Spirit of God to your spirit, it eventually gets to your mind. The Bible says in John 8, it says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That comes from a revelation in the Spirit. When you have been in the presence of God, when you have been in His Word, when you are in His Word on a regular basis, faith rises up. God gives you revelation, and you hold on to it. You'll have read something in the Bible 100 times, and you read that verse again. All of a sudden, it becomes a new and a fresh, and you're like, wow, I never saw that. God just like must have just put it in there. And it rises. Faith is a huge key in tapping the power. Number three, add action to your faith. You must be very intentional on looking for opportunities to minister. You know this verse, James 2:20 says, faith without works is, let me say that again, faith without works is, it's dead. Tapping the power is for you to be a vessel to help others. Tapping the power is not just for us to have great Sunday morning services so we can leave out of here and say, wow, it was good today. Tapping the power is for you to go out and be a minister to the world around you and to share Jesus with everyone around you. You need to put action to what you are looking to do. If I want to learn how to ride a bike, if I sit in my living room on Saturdays and watch TV all day, I'm never going to learn to read that bike. Ride that bike? I'm never going to learn to read that bike either. I mean, you can watch how many YouTubes about how to ride the bike, but until you actually get out and try to learn to ride the bike, and you know what's going to happen when you try to learn to ride the bike? You're going to mess up. You're going to fall down. You're going to skin your knees. You're going to mess up. But if you keep on doing it in the course of about a day, you're going to figure out how to ride the bike. You have to put action behind what you're going to do. In order to tap the power, you need to put action behind your faith and step out and be prepared to do it. When you're at a restaurant, maybe you're at a restaurant, and I've seen this happen. I'm not asking you to fabricate anything. I'm just asking you to be obedient to the Holy Spirit when He does it. I've seen it happen. I've done it. It's powerful. When your waitress comes over, you don't have to stand up and say, "Thus saith God, I have a word for you." You don't all of a sudden have to start speaking King James. Your voice doesn't need to change. "Young lady, I have a word from God for you. And hear me." You know, start sounding like a preacher. "And thus, you know, however it is they say." You don't have to do any of that. But just that waitress comes up and says, "You know, you may find this totally crazy, and it's okay because it is a little crazy. But, man, when you left the table, I just really sense God wanted to speak to you something. Do you mind if I share what I felt God say?" 9 times out of 10, that person's going to say yes. And then you just share with what the Lord said. Just speaks. "Boy, I can't speak today." Just speak it. And watch what the Holy Spirit does. I've been in times where I've watched that happen, and that waiter or waitress just begins to bawl. Because they knew what was spoken was directly from God. Simply because a believer was obedient and spoke what they felt God spoke through them. Put action to your faith. Look for opportunities to tap the power and utilize that power. Because remember, the gifts are not for us to have a circus show on Sunday morning. The gifts to edify the body of Christ and to bring power, the witness. We have power today. We need to use it today. We need to go out into the world and show them that there is a God that's real and powerful and refreshing. Stepping out in action is a must in tapping the power. Number 4, passionately pursue spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, "Earnestly desire spiritual gifts and do not..." Let me read to you. I'm going to butcher it. Feel like a Jeopardy show. Do, 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 do. Do, do, do. All right, we're getting there. "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you might prophesy." I've said this in the other messages that I've preached on this subject, but so often people say, "Well, you know, if God really wants me to have it, He'll just give it to me." That's not biblical. It's not what the Word says. It tells you to desire the things of the Spirit. We ought to be a people, a charismatic people, that are hungry for all of God and say, "God, whatever you want me to have, I hunger for it." It's just like salvation. You know, "Well, if God wants me to be saved, He'll just do it." No. The Holy Spirit may woo you, but you have to make an individual choice to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have to choose to accept it. When it comes to the gifts of the Spirit and tapping the power, you must choose to accept it. Passionately pursue spiritual gifts. Number 5, practice prayer and fasting. There's a story in Matthew 17. I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but 14 through 21 are the verses. It's an account of a boy being healed, an epileptic boy being healed. The disciples tried to heal this young man. They could not do it. They asked Jesus why. Jesus healed this young man. And Jesus said it was because of their lack of unbelief. It wasn't a question of God's will. It wasn't even a question of the boy's faith. It was a question of the disciples' unbelief. And then Jesus goes on to say in verse 21, "This kind does not go out except by prayer in fasting. If we want to tap the power, we need to be a body that seeks his face. We need to be a people that are open to fast, to buffet our bodies, to sacrifice our bodies in order to seek his face. Because fasting aligns ourselves. We sacrifice what our bodies need, food, to align ourselves with the Spirit of God. If we want to tap the power, we will practice prayer and fasting. Number six, everybody say number six. Learn to hear God's voice. To tap the power, we must develop a keen sensitivity to the Holy Spirit to hear his voice. How do we do that? We spend more time in the Word. We spend more time in our quiet time just seeking his face. We get in the midst of worship and we just wait on him. You know what's crazy? Is this mom can be in, and she could drop off her baby with 50 other babies. All 50 babies begin crying. They're all crying. They're all going crazy. That mom walks by that room and she's like, why is my baby crying? What's wrong with her? How in the world does that mom know that her baby is crying when there's 49 other babies equally as crying? How does mom know? Because she has spent every moment of the last 2 months or 3 months or 9 months or 10 months hearing her baby cry, sometimes in the middle of the night. She has become keenly sensitive to her baby's voice. She knows when it's her baby crying. Crazy. Cynthia's over there going, amen, I hear you. You're preaching to me. When Tori was born, after a couple of months, somebody asked me, they said, so is Tori sleeping through the night? I'm like, yeah, every night. I mean, she's sleeping like a baby. And Rama's like, no, she's not. You just sleep through it all. True story. After a mom has spent time every day, she understands her baby's voice. When we spend time in the Word, when we spend time in God's presence, we develop a deeper understanding of understanding his voice. Where we hear it and we step out and do it. In order to tap the power, you need to hear from God. Number seven, associate with believers who hunger to tap the power. Be in a church that is hungry to tap the power. Hopefully we define that as Go Church. Be faithful on Sunday. Surround yourselves around people that are hungry for the things of God. Not just on Sunday. If you're not a part of a small group, join a small group that's hungry to tap the power. A group that's willing to allow you to be used by God and allows you to be to receive what God is doing. Small groups are great to practice the gifts of the Spirit. You may never desire to operate in the gifts on a Sunday morning because you're a little bit afraid because there's like 150 people in the room and like, I don't know, what if I mess up? But in a small group of 5, 10, maybe 15 people, you may have the freedom to step out and learn to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and be used. We do this acronym in small groups called AWARE. And AWARE just teaches us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and speak it forth. And it's just amazing how God uses that exercise to teach people how to hear God's voice and be used. Associate with believers that are hungry to tap the power. And number eight, the last one, which goes so much in line with what the tongue and interpretation was today. Be motivated by love. Love must be the foundation of everything we do. Without it, power becomes pride and self-exaltation. Love is the greatest manifestation of God's power. We must be a church that loves people. Love is what motivates our faith. Galatians chapter 5, 6 says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. That's exactly what I said. Love is what causes us to live in the Spirit. Love is the greatest virtue of all. Without faith, we cannot please God. But without love, we cannot even know Him, because God is love. Love filled with truth is the ultimate spiritual weapon against sin, temptation, offense, disunity, sickness, oppression, and spiritual corruption. Love conquers all. Why is this so important? Charismatic Christianity can walk in a boastful attitude that we are better than everybody else because we believe in the power of God. We can walk in an arrogance that we are better than the other aspects of Christianity because of our understanding of the New Testament and its power. And God doesn't want us to walk in arrogance. We can also walk in trying to operate in the gifts to make ourselves be exalted higher, to make other people go, wow, dude, that person's like really, really spiritual. Ooh, that person knows Jesus. And if our intentions are to draw attention by man and not from God, they are done from the wrong place. I think I've told you a story when I was working, when Robin and I were dating. I was working in a church, and this guy in our church, he had been in prison twice. He was 22 years old and already been in prison twice. He got radically saved in prison. He was just on fire for Jesus, but needed to be a little discipled. So we went to this high school football game, and he was passing out tracts. No problem with passing out tracts. But when somebody would reject a tract from him, he would start speaking in tongues out loud to him because they had offended him for rejecting his tract. And let me tell you what those people did. It didn't go like, oh, whoa, you prayed in tongues. I want to know more about your Jesus. This is what they did. Oh, my goodness. What church are you from? You people are freaks, and I don't want to. His heart was right, but it wasn't birthed out of love. It wasn't birthed out of love. He pushed people away more than drew people to him. When we operate under the power and presence of God, when we're witnessing, people will be drawn to God's presence, not repelled by it. Everything we do, when you speak correction to another believer, it ought to be deeply bathed from an attitude of truth and deep, deep love for that person. Someone, I heard a preacher say one time, when we preach on hell, we should preach it with tears in our eyes. Because we care about people. As Go Church, everything we do as a church must be built around love. If we're not loving people, then we're just a clanging cymbal, 1 Corinthians 13 says. We must love people. We all agree with that. I agree with that. I just don't always operate in it. How many of y'all don't always operate in love? With your spouses? Come on now. Yeah, some of your husbands are nudging your wives right now. Some of the wives are nudging. How many of you sometimes speak a word that's absolutely true to your children, but it wasn't done out of the right heart because you are so exhausted from work or whatever? You are done with it, and so you respond in a way that's not a godly response, not birthed out of love. It's just birthed out of exhaustion. Oh, yeah. Oh, come on. So we all have a process of learning to love people, beginning with our family. Let me tell you, the biggest cure of that journey is to be able to pull that person or your family member to you and say, what I just did, for one, you did it wrong, so I needed to respond to you, but how I did it was wrong. Because it was birthed out of my exhaustion, and so I didn't speak it correctly. You're still grounded, by the way. You're still grounded, Shelly. You too, Shammy. But the way I handled it was wrong. Please forgive me for that. We all have a journey of love. And when we strive to perfect the skill of loving God and loving people, we will draw waitresses at restaurants. We will draw teachers at school to that love. We have a world that seeks only to serve itself. When we go out and serve people, tap the power and operate in the gifts in a way that's healthy and loving, people are drawn to Jesus. We become effective. Would you stand with me this morning? Let me just recap. Number one, cultivate God's presence in your life. Number two, cultivate faith in God's truth. Number three, add action to your faith. Go out and do it. Number four, passionately pursue spiritual gifts. Don't be afraid of them. Let me just tell you another thing. God's not just going to take over and things are just going to get all crazy. That's just not God. I had a lady tell me in Belize one time, and they said, when God takes over, I just have no control. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is very much a gentleman. You absolutely have control. That's just unhealthy. If you feel you have just totally lost it, the Holy Spirit is a God of order, and we will always operate in order. So if you're afraid that the Holy Spirit's just going to take over and you're going to do something absolutely crazy, if you do something absolutely crazy, it's because you chose to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, and you will do it. Everything I've ever done and all of the times that I've loved Jesus, I've made a conscious choice to accept what God was doing and did it as his vessel. So he's not just going to take over and be all crazy. Don't be afraid of the things of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid to tap the power. Number four, passionately pursue spiritual gifts. Number five, practice prayer and fasting. Number six, learn to hear God's voice. Number seven, associate with believers who hunger to tap the power. And number eight, be motivated by love. Expect to tap the power. You know, one of the stories that I heard from Robin about the women's gathering is one of the ladies came forward for the altar call. And the lady praying over just grabbed her and embraced her and held her. And they both wept together. I don't know if words were spoken in the midst after that. I just know they embraced and they wept together. There was such deep love that was manifested, and the Holy Spirit used that to bring healing and wholeness. We must be a people of love. When our leaders begin to come forward, if you are here and you're saying, God, I want to tap the power on a deeper level, would you just come? If you are here and you feel you're distant from God and you're saying, man, I need to come home, I need to get back to where I once was, would you come? If you've never made a decision for Jesus Christ, today would be a great day. We'd love to talk to you about it. If you're here and through these messages of charismatic Christianity, you want a deeperness in the things of the Spirit, would you begin to make your way forward? If you're here and you're just hurting and need ministry, if you just need somebody to grab you and embrace you and just love on you, if you just need somebody to cry with you, would you just begin to make your way forward? If you need ministry this morning, would you make your way? If you're sick in body, we'd love to pray for you.